From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking today with Charles Poe, executive producer of Waco, The Longest Siege. It's a documentary that will air on the Smithsonian Channel. Before we get into the details of the siege, I want to acknowledge that we have people listening who aren't old enough to remember any of this firsthand. So just to start with a couple of basics, who were the Branch Davidians? What did they believe?
Certainly. Well, the Branch Davidians were a spinoff in the 1930s of the Seventh-day Adventists, and that's a faith that is particularly open to end-time prophets. And David Koresh, he was originally known as Vernon Howell, had joined this splinter group of the Branch Davidians that was in Central Texas. And he recruited people from all over the world to come to about 10 miles outside of Waco in Mount Carmel, a compound where he pretty much had iron control over his flock.
How did he take on the name David Koresh?
Well, he took it from the Bible. David, obviously, from the Bible, and Koresh is a version of Cyrus, the lamb from the book of Revelation. And he claimed that he was the only person who could open the seven seals that would lead his followers to salvation and also launch the apocalypse.
And how did he attract followers to show up in Central Texas?
Well, he was a charismatic individual. I mean, this was someone who only had a ninth grade education, but he had a knack for memorizing and repeating Bible sections. He went on this recruiting tour around the world and basically seduced people everywhere from England and Canada to as far afield as Australia by really sheer force of personality. I mean, he was someone who would riff on the Bible and was very entertaining at it and convinced people that he had a message that would resonate with them. When we speak with the actual true believers, and there are still people who are still followers of David Koresh and believe they will see him again, they have a hard time articulating exactly what drew them to him. There was just this force within him that drove people to really pick up their lives and move to Central Texas.
Well, he seemed to have this extraordinary confidence in the veracity of what he was saying. So it seems like, if nothing else, he gave the impression that he believed everything he was saying.
Absolutely. And he was a natural entertainer. He was actually quite a good singer. He had a rock band. You know, one of his followers, Mark Bro, when he joined, you know, part of the appeal was that he was going to play in the band with David Koresh or Vernon Howell at the time. And so he sort of combined an entertainer and a preacher.
Did he believe he was the second coming of Jesus?
Well, it's hard to say at this remove. He was interviewed more than once, including by some of my former colleagues at the Waco Tribune Herald. And, you know, he never explicitly said he was the second coming of Jesus Christ, but he certainly asserted that he spoke for God. And he certainly, you know, as he got more cornered, he took on even more, exuded this idea that he was speaking for God.
And he also believed he had this special ability to, like, decode secret messages within the book of Revelation. Were those messages made public?
Well, he did have sermons that went out on tapes, but it was never sort of a message that was put down in stone, and it evolved over time. So after several years, he had something called the New Light message, where he suddenly declared that all the women in the group would be his, including daughters and their mothers, and that all the men would have to be separated. And in return, he promised all the men that in the afterlife, you know, they would get their own partners taken from their own ribs, which must be better than the wife you have right now if it comes straight from you, right?
They were child brides, right? They were underage girls that he was claiming as his wives. I can't imagine that there's any greater sense of power than having the mothers and fathers of those young girls acquiescing to this.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's not as simple as they just gave in. We interviewed Clive Doyle, an Australian who now is based in Texas, and both of his daughters ended up becoming brides of David Koresh. And he wasn't entirely comfortable with the idea initially, but you have a choice. Do you follow your spiritual leader, or do you protest and leave the group? If all of the group is deciding that the women belong to David Koresh, there's a powerful lure there. And, you know, he still believes that that was the right thing to do and is still a believer of David Koresh.
If you'd like to hear this whole conversation, check out the Think podcast. Simply look for Think in the Explore section of NPR One or use search to find it. You can also subscribe at think.kera.org or wherever you get your podcasts.